Welcome to the Power of Synergy on BBS Radio. I'm your host, Gabrielle Cardona. I'm a life coach, but for the last few years, I've been sort of an expert in relationship coaching. And that's why I love the word synergy. It's about how we relate to each other. Now, if you look at the Oxford Dictionary, it will define synergy as the interaction or cooperation of two or more organizations, substances, or agents to produce a combined effect greater than the sum of their separate effects. Wow, that sounds great. Okay, what does it mean? It means that when we come together as people, we don't just add to each other, we don't even multiply each other, we empower each other. And I've always loved math, so I like to use the example of mathematics. And if we were to quantify people with numbers, what that means is we don't add to each other like five and seven. When they're added together, they come up with 12, right? We don't even necessarily multiply each other. Five and seven, that would be 35. It's even better. We empower each other to be exponentially more than what we are when we're alone. Wow. Okay. So let's think about that logistically, just with numbers five and seven. Well, seven, it's a larger number than five. So let's take seven to the fifth power. That's 16,807. That's a lot more than 12 or 35. But what's five? It's a smaller number. To the seventh power. That's 78,125. Okay, now let's just take a step back and contemplate that. Really think about what that means. If we have the ability to facilitate and empower each other to allow them to become more powerful, that's a lot of power. It's a lot of responsibility. Now, when you think about your personal power, since in the United States we have a lot of freedom, that affords us the opportunity to take our power and use it any way we want. But you know what? I always tell people, power comes with responsibility. Okay, that means that you have to pay the consequences for the decisions that you make. Okay, and responsibility, that actually demands accountability. Who do you personally believe that you are accountable to for the decisions that you make, for the choices that you make, the consequences that will occur as a result of the decisions and choices that you make? Have you asked yourself that? Not only paying the consequences in the world with the people, but do you feel in a conscience way an accountability and really a responsibility to think about what you say and do before you do it? Because you know what, ladies and gentlemen, what goes around comes around. It will ultimately affect you in one way or another. So today I'm going to talk about a topic that's very, very close to my heart. I'm very passionate about it, and that's marriage. Yeah, I talk about family a lot. I talk about professional and social relationships, because when people said to me, you know, as a life coach, it's good, but you're really good at talking to people about how to be with people. Maybe you should make that your area of expertise. When I talk to people, sometimes I use my own life as example, some of my own relationships, because I gotta tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I got a lot of good entertaining stories. So when I talk about marriage, I talk about what to do. But yeah, what not to do, more importantly, how to do it. When you think about being the base number of what is going to be done, do you know that the power that you have as an exponent, you might not be the one that's doing the activity, but you're facilitating someone else. That is especially true in marriage. You have a lot of power to affect the person that you have signed up for life with. You have a lot of opportunity to facilitate their success and happiness, but there are tricks and there are hints and secrets that I teach people as a coach. I'm going to be going over them today, but I just want to let people know that if you have a question that you want to ask me, feel free to call into the station. The number is 888 888 627-6008. But I also got a new email address. Excuse me, just for the people who want to ask me a question to maybe not during the show, or if they don't necessarily want to go on the air, if you want to be kind of discreet, you still want to ask me a question. I got an entirely new email address. It's thepowerofsynergylisteners@gmail.com. So I'll go ahead and spell that for you again. THEPOWEROFSYNERGYLISTENERS@gmail.com. The power of synergy listeners at gmail.com. Okay, so I'm going to be checking that. Just going to be refreshing it probably every 5 to 7 minutes in case I'm going to be going over a lot of topics, ladies and gentlemen, today. I'm going to be talking about things that people have asked me about in the past in sessions as in the capacity of a coach, other questions and concerns that my friends and family members have had and said, I don't really want to hire you. I just want to ask you something real quick because I see that you do it really, really well and you practice what you preach. So different topics and issues and problems that people have needed help resolving, I'll go ahead and cover a lot of them. Now, if you have a question or a comment about something that relates to what I'm saying, but isn't specifically on the topic, then feel free again to call in or send me an email because it's an hour-long show. We got a lot of time here. So, marriage is something that I'm very passionate about for several reasons. First of all, I'm Generation X. I was born in 1976, so I've grown up in kind of an environment of rebellion. Right? That was my mindset when I had my peers, especially that included television, movies, radio. It was very much about do your own thing, assert your personal power, but especially in the sense of feminism. I had a lot of women personally telling me that was in school. It was in social groups like my ballet class and violin, but also, especially in my family, I had a mother who only had three sisters. And so I had a lot of women telling me what women needed to be and what women can do and the opportunity that we have with our power. You know what? Unfortunately, it ended up translating and sort of manifesting as men are the enemy, right? Women are the competition, men are the enemy. I was told a lot of very wrong things and very negative, in very negative ways, I guess you could say, not only about men, but about marriage. There were a lot of couples after 1969. We had a little party going on, right? Woodstock. And yeah, promiscuity, a lot of drugs, a lot of me first, me, 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 mentality without the responsibility, independence of the mentality that my generation grew up with. But a lot of feminism said, you don't need to get married and you don't need to worry about what men think. It's your body, it's your life, it's your freedom to do whatever you want. Unfortunately, there were a lot of single parent families as a result of that. My mother, she was a single parent, so she was at work a lot of the time. At home, I was either alone or I would have different babysitters, but never really what you would call a family environment. So I'm going to be talking about a few of the, well, proverbial things that I was told by the authority figures in my life that were not true. Like men are the enemy and women are the competition. One of them that really bothered me most was that, well, men only have enough blood for one head at a time. What? That meant that if a man was turned on or aroused by you, that meant he was stupid. I am so sorry. But ladies, that's garbage. Men are very intelligent people and they do have self-discipline. And it really does matter to men to be faithful. That was the other lie that I was told that, you know what? All they want to do is have sex with everybody all the time. They have absolutely no self-control because they're completely selfish. Okay, that's not true either. In fact, as I was dating my husband, he and I were going down the checklist of Do we actually want to get married? And he said some things to me. One of the most, I guess, striking questions that he asked me was, okay, so let's say scenario, a hypothetical. I said, okay. He said, now, if we had been married for, let's say, 10 years and things were going pretty well, we had our family, we had kids in our house, and I came home one day and said, honey, I'm going to be honest with you. I made a mistake. A woman that I've never met and that I don't love. Yeah, you know what? She was flirting with me. She seduced me. I had a drink and I ended up sleeping with her, but I don't love her and I know it was a mistake. I love you. Would you leave me? I said, no, of course not. Are you kidding me? He said, why not? He almost seemed irritated. I said, well, first of all, because you're Mexican, so I know you're raised to be unfaithful. Second, you're a man. If a woman is going to seduce you or flirt with you, you have absolutely no ability to resist her. Third, if you were chemically altered, even with just alcohol, then you have no self-control. And oh my God, if we're doing well, why in the hell would I be stupid enough to throw everything good that we have away just because you were stupid once? He said, okay, wrong. I said, what do you mean? He said, first of all, no, men don't accidentally fall down and slip into a woman, right? He said, if I'm having sex with another woman, it's because I'm not with you anymore. Fidelity is very important to men, even Mexican men. And we do have the focus and the discipline. And if we love our wife really and truly, and we are involved emotionally and mentally in our marriage, we're not going to be tempted by other women. Yeah, it'll be fun kind of to see them flirting with us, but our passion to our commitment and our love for our lover and our life mate, it doesn't go away over something as stupid as sex. If I'm with you, then that's not going to make it go away. And you know what? If I do have relations with another woman, it's because I'm not with you mentally or emotionally anymore. Whoa, that blew me away. And he said, yeah, and that whole Mexican thing. No, there are a lot of men in Mexico who are very, very faithful to their wives from beginning to end. Okay, well, that's really cool. Now, I'm going to get down to the nitty-gritty again. If you want to email me a question, the power of synergy listeners at gmail.com. And the number to the station is 888-627-6008. Okay, so let me go ahead and refresh my email before I broach the first subject, which is going to be courtship, actually picking someone who's good for you. Okay, so nothing yet. Picking someone for a lifelong partner. Look, you have to make sure that you're with someone who is compatible to you. I like the word compliment, right? Unfortunately, there was a very good movie with a very good actor who said, "You complete me." No, you do not complete another person. You compliment them, okay? Because the word complete means you are insufficient without another person. No, ladies and gentlemen, you have to be a complete soul. That's your heart and your mind and your body, your spirit working with all of them to get them together to make sure that what you do is of high quality. Now, obviously, I love talking about the personalities. You need to be the kind of person who understands the strengths and weaknesses of your personality, but only in the context of what you're really, really, really good at. And you know what? Well, you have to work twice as hard to do half as well. You can find someone who complements your personality because their strengths could be the very thing that you struggle with in life, but you have to be able to do those things. And I'm going to go back to the synergy illustration that I used. Certain things people are just naturally going to be good at, other things they have to learn how to master. Okay, so if we're talking about, I like to use the Myers-Briggs type indicator profile system. There are 16 personalities, but they fall under one of four categories. Okay, so each category has four variations of a disposition. There's SJ, SP, NT, and NF. I've talked about it on previous shows. So if you want to go back to the archives, you can listen to me breaking down the details. But I like to use them in terms of like a body. NTs are brains, And F's are hearts, SJs are bones, SPs are muscles. So now, if you know that you are very good at being a brain because you're an NT, don't sign up with another brain. Find a muscle or a bone or a heart, because in life, the whole body has to get things done. Whatever you are really good at, you can be the base. And if the person that you choose for a mate is good at something else, they can empower you with their positive energy, with their love and support and encouragement. They can facilitate you, and they can provide resources and tools to make sure that as long as something is getting done for the marriage, it's getting done in a high quality way, because again, the synergy happens when there's synchronicity. That means both partners have come together in a high quality state, and they're working with the same purpose for the same goal in a positive way, a constructive way. So I'm not going to go into all of the details of what SJ, SP, NT, and NF are today, but understanding that, yeah, there are things in life that are going to have to be done, and marriage is about living together all day, every day. So let me just get back up on my soapbox here. It used to be people would date to get married, and then they would have relations to make babies. Well, you know what? Starting in the 70s, it kind of got reversed. People started sleeping together. Then they decided if they liked each other, then they would move in with each other, and then maybe they would get married. But it was always with the mindset of till death do us part. I think it was probably in the 80s when people said, you know what? Yeah, no, we're going to get divorced, and it's okay. It's not a sin, and it's not frowned upon socially. It's not forbidden in a casual way of this culture. But now I don't even call it a culture in the United States. It's more of a society, because there is no collective mindset with a value system. Family is the foundation of society. Civilization, the quality of a civilization is contingent on the performance of its individual units, which are families. And so when we get that mindset of a certain behavior is acceptable and certain behaviors are not, that needs to be the really, really strong understanding between a couple when they're dating. They have to have certain standards that they're very honest and upfront about. What things are not negotiable, what things are. But that means you have to know yourself very well before you ever bring anybody else into your life. Things that you need to know about yourself are, first of all, most importantly, your personality, because that is what you were born with. And nature, or if you want to call it God, whatever you want to call it, random personalities are distributed throughout society, throughout the human race, because certain things need to happen. And some personalities are more common than others, because the things that need to be done more often are done by those personalities. Obviously, that makes logical sense. If you're talking to someone about what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, but most importantly, what your personal values and priorities are, your personality is not going to be an indication of your moral fiber. It is not going to be an indication of the issues that you're going to have. Every single personality can be strong or weak in a moral way. And it's their life experience that's going to determine how they display, manifest the qualities of their personality. Excuse me, your personality doesn't change over life. Your behavior does. So your behavior is not an indication of your personality. If you know yourself well enough to say to the person that loves you and wants to spend the rest of their life with you, I have a really hard time with whatever it is, then they appreciate your honesty, and they can say, okay, you know what? I don't know what to do with that. They're being honest with you in return. Or they can say, okay, well then let's figure out how to get this done, because I'm actually pretty good at certain things in certain ways. So I can help either support you or provide for you or encourage, facilitate you when you're doing certain things. You know what? Maybe I just need to get this done. I can learn how to do it. And people are, again, very, very willing to work together when there is positive energy. And these are the principles that I tell people. Again, there's no neutral energy and there's no inertia. First of all, no inertia means you are either moving towards each other or away from each other. But if you both have the same goal in sight and you are synchronized, you're moving consistently with each other to a goal. Okay, so when you have that similar focus and that same priority and belief system that gives you the priority, then you can say, now the energy that I have is either positive or negative. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no neutral energy. You are either positive or negative. And people say, well, I don't care. It doesn't really matter. They think that's neutral energy. So it's not positive or negative. It's not good or bad. Wrong again. Okay. If you are indifferent, that's negative because everything that's not positive is by default negative. Okay. You have to have good, high quality in terms of mentally and emotionally that will manifest in a physical way. Okay. So when we're talking about what do you have in any given moment, can you change that? Can you create something that's better than what you were before you got together with someone? Yeah. And I tell people there's something that I love and hate at the same time was very popular. It was an expression, put the mask on yourself first. Okay. So that was based on when you are on an airplane and before you take off, the flight attendants explain to you how, and you know what, we could have a problem with the oxygen supply. So if that happens, the masks will come from the overhead compartments. They'll drop down. You need to put the mask on yourself first before you help anybody. Well, what if there's a baby? What if there's someone who's old and weak and sick and dying? The important thing is take care of yourself. That way you will be able to take care of others. Unfortunately, something happened to that. It was a good principle, a good philosophy to take quality care of yourself. It kind of went to an extreme of me first, at the expense of taking care of others. The whole point of that illustration was your focus and your goal has to be for others' benefits. When you have that good quality condition of breathing clean air freely, you then have the capacity to do things that other people need with them, for them. Now, when you ask yourself, do I have good quality thoughts and feelings right now? You might not. Then you might need to say, okay, you know what? I need to take a time out. I need to take a step back. If you're honest with people and you say, I really do need to take care of myself right now because I'm getting I don't like who I am. Let's just say that. People will say, okay, we can go ahead and give you the time and the space that you need. Then the question ask yourself is, have I improved in the quality of my thoughts and feelings and behavior to the point where the return on investment, the ROI that people have as a result of the sacrifice that they made of me, right, for a time, is it worth it for them to make that kind of take that kind of step back? Okay. Now, when you're asking yourself this question, the next one it begs is, do you know how to take quality care of yourself? Okay. So before I go into that again, the power of synergy listeners at gmail.com or 888-627-6008. Let me go ahead and refresh here, see if anybody has sent me any questions. It looks like no, not yet. Okay. So back to the next point I was going to make was, okay, if you have the awareness of what you need and you can say with all honesty to the people in your life, I need to take care of myself for this reason, and I do it best in this way. You are giving them the opportunity to facilitate you, synergize with you, without being negative, because if you know that your ultimate goal is constructive and healthy and positive, you are empowering them to find their good qualities. And this is especially true with your mate, to say, you make me better. Who you are, your thoughts and feelings have a positive impact on me. And the quality of what I'm going to be doing after I spend that time with you is going to be exponential and therefore, by definition, priceless. Okay, so now if we're talking about the logistics of marriage, we got some things that we need to make sure are going on, since it's 24/7, you're with this person, right? Hopefully, till death do you part. There's time management, money management, attention management, energy management. These are all very important things that are indelibly intertwined. They're not mutually exclusive. When you have to manage your time and you have several different demands, several different people or things wanting your attention, that they want your time. They might want your money, but it takes energy. What kind of energy? It takes mental and emotional and physical energy. So if you know how to say, this is what I do have in high quality, well, I have other things in high quantity, but they're not as good. When you're honest with your partner and you say, okay, I know that there are things that need to get done. Would you like to do them, or would you like to help me do them? Or do you want me to take a time out so that I can go ahead and get high quality so I won't need you? Again, that conversation, that communication is the most important thing in life. You have that so that your synchronicity doesn't change. Even when you take a step away from each other, you know that mentally you have the same focus, and emotionally you have the same energy that's based on your personal value system. Okay, so now when you're talking about things like knowledge and power and accountability, excuse me, do you still want to learn more things, not only about your partner, but about your life? If you are continuing to grow and improve, become a better quality person for your partner, but also for your marriage, you have probably you're going to have children. Your example is going to be so much more important than your words. You're going to have to teach your children things, but you're going to have to display them. You're going to have to demonstrate them with consistency and with your partner. When your children or other people even see that there is that unity between you and your marriage mate, that's very encouraging for them, because that positive energy and that good example gives them suggestions not only of what to do more and better, but also how to do it. And it's funny because I like using telling the story, recounting the story of a lady in Starbucks when she actually asked me and my husband one day, are you two having an affair? I was so taken back by it. I said, yeah, how did you know? And of course, we weren't. But she said, okay, I knew it. I knew it. I just love watching you guys together. I said, how did you know? She said, well, a couple of reasons. First of all, because you're both wearing wedding rings, but they're different styles. So that means you're both married, but probably not to each other. There's usually the matching, right? And she said, but every time I see you together, you have such a good time. You're laughing and you touch a lot and you kiss. And, she said, so no, married couples don't do that after a couple of years, right? They turn cold and distant. And so the only time you could really be having fun is if you're doing something bad. And I said, oh, that actually kind of made me sad to hear that. I said, no, actually, we've been married for 25 years. And she said, to each other? I said, yeah, we spend good quality time with each other. We get into a good quality mental and emotional state, because that's the only way we're going to be good to our kids. And our kids know that we have to take care of each other, even if it's to the point of saying no to our kids. Like I explained with that mask, if you say to your kids that as a couple, you're going to be much better to them when you take care of each other, Believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, kids are fine making that sacrifice. And sometimes they'll even go to you as their parents and say, yeah, do you guys want some time? Some time alone, we can go somewhere, or maybe you should go out. Yeah. And it's very important to be able to say to them, we do. We actually will do much better for you when we're done taking care of each other and in any way that we need to and we want to. And so when they see, when your children see that you can manage your time and your emotional energy and your physical strength in a way that's going to have a good return on your investment, then the kids will be much better and willing, able to be that way with other people in their life, not just their marriage partner. So that brings us to the next topic, which is if you have to teach somebody, you have to practice what you preach. And yeah, as a coach, when people ask me, what's the secret? How do I have the fun with my husband? One of the most important things I say is communication. You have to get the communication going. It's the only way not only to resolve conflict, but to prevent it. Okay, so, and I tell people, oh, wait a second. Let me just double check the email. And again, the phone number for the station is 888-627-6008. Okay. So when we're talking about conflict resolution, but more importantly, conflict prevention, you need to remember there are different elements to that disagreement, right? Disagreement is going to happen if you do have different personalities, different dispositions, but the disagreement does not have to become a problem to the point where it's conflict, a fight. Now, what I tell people is very important. When people know that they have negative emotions about something, they still need to have that self-mastery over managing. There are three most important and most common basic human emotions. One is anxiety, the other is fear, and the last one is anger. Okay, so now just a real quick once over. Anxiety is about things that could potentially happen. Your body gives you anxiety to let you know, heads up, we're going in a direction that I don't like. It's time for you to fix a problem or a situation that could potentially become a problem. Okay. Fear is, you know what? This is a very dangerous situation, and I don't like the fact that my life is in danger. So I'm going to turn up the chemicals and I'm going to intensify the thoughts, okay, more than anxiety. And the last one is anger, which is something has happened and you didn't fix it. You need to fix the situation now. Sometimes it's the objects, sometimes it's the people, sometimes it's the entire synergy between the people. Even if you took care of the objects, the situation itself, if there's something that still is going on, even when the situation has been improved, anger is our body's way of saying, you have got to fix this. And I'm going to make you feel really, really bad until you do. Those emotions are very important. And people don't always appreciate their value, especially in a relationship, because they are so powerful. Sometimes they don't keep their mental faculties in a high quality state. And they certainly don't have the time, take the time or have the skills to say, okay, let's get to the source of the problem, right? Which is the cause of the effect. You have to get not only to the situation and what went wrong in the situation, but why did it transpire past the situation to the point where more bad things went on as a result? And if we were not able to talk to each other about the source of what went wrong, it might actually be something that had nothing to do with the situation itself. There are other facets and factors in a particular setting, right? And that includes the people being able to say, whoa, what just happened here made me, right, have internal reactions that don't necessarily make sense to the people around because they don't have a problem with that thing. So maybe that thing is not per se bad. Let's take some time to talk about it. Now, again, how much is time worth? How much do you believe your time is worth? Yeah, it's priceless. When you know yourself and you understand other people, That's good, but sometimes you won't. Sometimes you don't. So being able to say, it's worth it to me, right? To take the time to really define, specify what matters to me and what in this situation has compromised my ability to perform in a healthy and positive way. Is it just a detail of the situation, maybe one of the objects, one of the items in that situation, or is it something that someone else has done or said or been that compromises my performance? Why is that? And that's the question I always tell people that I love most. Why? Okay. One of my favorite jokes when it comes to men and women is, let's see, I think my oldest son told this to me. Arguing with a woman is like reading the terms of and conditions of a contract. In the end, you just ignore everything they say and agree. Okay. Well, you know what? Sometimes you have to, but you need to remember again that if it truly is an issue, you've got to talk about it. Now, as a couple, certain things just need to be established before a disagreement even occurs. The terms and conditions of the way you're going to talk to each other. I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are some things that my husband does not ever want me to do. Well, you know what? My daughter and son, they're okay with me doing that, but he has certain issues. And for me, certain principles are not negotiable, and he needs to understand that, even if I'm totally and completely wrong. But you know what? He needs to comply because his love for me is more powerful than his need to do what's easy or comfortable. So if you know beforehand what is most important to each of you and you agree to comply, yeah, you make a sacrifice. You're willing to do the work for the person that you love. That's the most important thing. So then you get to the topic, then you find out what the issue is, why it became a problem. You know what? It's really important to know those things and to have the good attitude of willingness. I actually have a joke with my husband too in marriage because based on the terms and conditions joke, I always tell him, and honey, what are the three most important words in marriage? And he'll turn and glare at me and say, you were right. And then my next response to that is, and what are the next three most important words? And he'll glare and go, I was wrong. Okay. So, but again, that's keeping the laughter in it because you know what? It doesn't even matter who's right and who's wrong. When it comes down to it, it's the synergy that comes from the synchronicity. Sometimes you're just going to have to make a sacrifice for the person that you love because that's how you empower each other and you keep that cooperation in a positive way. There are going to be some issues that, you know what? You might never resolve them completely to the point where they go away. They may keep coming up over and over and over again. But again, one of the best things that you can do for yourselves and each other as a couple is taking care again of yourself and each other. And sometimes you're going to have tools and resources for yourself. If your partner, your marriage mate can't give you what you need in the way that you need it at the time that you need it, it's okay to say, I really do need to take care of myself, and I know exactly what to do because you've already figured it out before you're in that situation. People do appreciate it. And the fact that they appreciate that so much means that next time they'll be willing to pay attention to what they're doing to prevent that from happening in the first place. Or they might very well have the resources to help you. And if they say, what do you need? Tell them. Be very specific with them, what, where, how, when, with who, why. Yeah, they really do like that because they know that if you are better as a result of something that they did, that's the more joy in giving than in receiving principle that people always will want to give. And quality over quantity, if what they give you, even if it's in a small amount, if it's important to you, it will be important to them because they want to make sure that whatever you're giving them is high quality instead of just a large quantity. Okay, so when you're talking about taking spontaneous action with another person, if you do have that synchronicity, they would be able to respond to you in an educated way. That's going to be the most important thing for you as a couple, because you know what? Yeah, you can plan things, you can plan them all day, every day, but life is spontaneous. And you know what? Yeah, the world has a mind of its own, and situations have different factors and different details that can literally change at the last minute. So when you have the power, the opportunity to respond not only to a situation, but to the person in the situation, sometimes you have to say, okay, quick inventory. Do you want to do this and I'll help you and support you? Or do you want me to do it? Or can we actually figure out a way that we can both do it together with our minds and our hearts and our bodies in agreement? Whoa, that is absolutely beautiful. It's powerful. It's priceless. Can you put a price on those things? Yeah, you can always go out and get the products or the services from a business, the tools and resources that are required. If you don't have the people or you don't have the time to get it done yourself, this is another thing I like to tell people. When I was raising my kids, I would go out with them to, yeah, probably cheap restaurants like I do with my husband, and we would spend probably 45 minutes to an hour and a half. It only took us 20 minutes to eat. And when I told people, I spend 15, 20, sometimes up to $30 on this food to be with my kids, I'm not paying for the food. I'm paying for the cooking and cleaning, because ladies, we know this. Yeah, work. It's a lot of work. A man works from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. We always have more things that we need to do. So sometimes taking a step back for me meant from my domestic engineering responsibilities, spending time with my kids meant that I needed to listen to them when they talked to me. Yeah, the same is true of your spouse. How much time do you spend texting or on your computer when you have someone in your life who does need your time? They need your attention. They need your focus. How many words per minute do you think they need your attention? Okay, so let's think about this now. We think at a rate of about 200 words a minute. Okay, we talk between 170 and 180. We hear about 160. We can read, if we're really good at it, about 140, 130 to 140. Yeah, we can type maybe 60 if we're good, and we only text about 15 words a minute. But and you know what? This is another thing I don't like, the fact that my phone has this great service, this great ability to predict the words I'm gonna say. How often are the words that your phone anticipates you speaking next are actually the ones you are gonna say? Not very often. I like to say that basically, if I just stuck with the word it gave me until a sentence was complete, yeah, I would sound autistic. So if you can say in good conscience and good faith that you don't spend a lot of time texting, then that's great. You know what? I'm very impressed. But most people spend a lot of time messaging. They don't even want to make phone calls anymore, and they don't physically get together anymore. You have got to put that time and energy into physically being together, because you know what? Words with technology, they're not able to facilitate synergy. All it is information without the human. Yes, you can have words, but that's not going to create a personal connection. What do humans have? Eye contact, volume and pausing, sense stress and modulation, body language, physical touch. How important are those human elements to the conversation? They're priceless. Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and refresh one more time. The power of synergy listeners at gmail.com, or if you want to call into this station, it's 888-627-6008. Okay, so still nothing good. Then what we have is that empowering each other Okay, yeah, when we come together physically and we spend good quality time, let's say if we were talking to each other for 15 minutes, that is a lot of words that we would be able to say to each other that, you know what, 15 minutes texting or messaging would be about 1/8 of that. Okay, and that's again if we're quick, if we're in quick response. But if we are talking to someone, it could take an hour because they're multitasking while they're reading and then waiting to respond. And if you're refreshing, you're distracted away from what you're doing. Are you worth it? Is the person that you're with worth it to say, I'm going to stop what I'm doing so you have my undivided attention? You have my focus, and I'm personally vested not only in what you're saying, but how you're saying it and what it means and what it means I need to do as a result. Wow. Yeah. When people can actually see that you care personally in them enough to say, I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing so you have me at 100%. Then they'll be more likely to say, okay, you know what? I appreciate that. And I'm going to get the quality of what I give you back up because the quantity, yeah, we actually have the opportunity to say more things to each other. So you don't have to wonder and you don't have to ask questions to clarify and to just validate and confirm what I think that meant. Well, yeah, let's get together and actually spend the time. And if we have a topic in mind, then we might have an issue that we need to discuss. But the problem that might have transpired if we were just using technology never has to occur in the first place. Or if a problem does, in fact, manifest, we can resolve it. Yeah, when we have that honesty and directness, then we can create that intimacy. How much is that worth? When you say you're going to negotiate, again, the principle of there's more joy in giving than there is in receiving. How much are you willing to say, I will sacrifice for you? Again, with the principle of give more than you take, it's not good to say, okay, I'll give to you under the condition that I get twice as much back. Because again, that undermines the principle of giving unselfishly. Right, to create that good positive energy with a person who matters to you. You know what? When you have that unselfishness in your heart, in your mind, and people can feel it and see it in your body, that actually rubs off on them. And so again, when I ask people, since there's no neutral energy, are people better when they walk away from you? People are not going to be the same when they're done interacting with you personally, physically, directly. When people get away from the situation that they were in, where they could communicate directly with you, are their thoughts and their feelings higher quality? You know what? It might not be happiness per se, because if there wasn't necessarily a good solution to the problem, the question is your attitude, your spirit, your energy, your motives, your intention. If people can feel that you are unselfish and you're genuinely trying. Yeah, it's important because my kids, I gotta tell you again, I was a horrible mother. Couldn't cook or clean or change diapers to save my life. And they used to joke, my two oldest boys, when their sister was born, they'd say, Mom, take a step back. You're horrible at this. And I'd say, okay, well, can I at least watch you guys while you're doing an exponentially better job than me? They said, yeah, because you know what? We love that you kill yourself trying. You can't get the frying pan as opposed to the oven difference. You know, you could read about it all day. You still can't do it, but that's okay. Yeah, both of my boys love to cook and they're good at it. But when people know that your intentions are unselfish and your effort is sincere, your motives are high quality, they can say, okay, you know what? There are certain things that I do really, really well. There are other things that you do really, really well. Let's find out what they are. If you have a life partner that you know you are going to stay with, come hell or high water, you're going to do the work and they're going to appreciate it. and they're going to respect it and they're going to trust it. That's the art of synergy. So for the last 5 minutes, I'm just going to explain ART, appreciation and respect and trust. Appreciation is of people's abilities. When you appreciate their ability, you truly value it, because appreciate means value. And you can say, yeah. And you also appreciate their intentions. Yeah. Okay, that's amazing, because you're saying you value them. Respect is about honor. Okay, that's about dignity and saying, I'm going to give you my good behavior to show you that I appreciate you. Now, trust is about motives, motivations, people's intentions, but are they good or bad? If you know that you trust their motives enough to be able to say, I'm going to surrender and I'm going to put the ball in your court, or I'm going to follow your lead. I'm going to let you make the decisions and I'm going to cooperate with you. I'm going to work with you without undermining you. ART, appreciation, respect, and trust. Those are the things that are absolutely vital. They're equally important in a relationship, and they need to be reciprocated at all times. That's very important when other people are around you, because again, exponentially, when they get involved in whatever dynamic you're creating with the person, and they say, okay, I want to be a part of whatever healthy, positive, constructive thing that you're doing with each other, you have the opportunity to make them exponentially more powerful as well. And when you think about what people need from you, you can have a certain insight to say, you know what, I can tell that this is very hard for you. You can ask them, is it because this is just something that naturally you're bad at? There are going to be certain things that every personality is bad at. Or is it because you're off center? Do you need me to help you get back into a high quality state? Or do you have an issue that's actually just been triggered by the situation? It's not about the situation and it's not about you per se. It's about something that has happened to you. Okay. And I was actually talking to a colleague this last week about my personality. She uses a different system than I do. The MBTI, I like Myers-Briggs because it doesn't claim to find out what your motives are, and it's not going to define your issues. It's just an explanation of what you're good at and what's easy for you and what brings you pleasure. So if you can say to people, you know what? This is what's easy for me. Okay. This is what brings me pleasure. This is what I'm really, really good at. In the event that they're asking you to do something that's not that, then they can say, you know what? If it's not automatically easy for you, I'll provide motivation. Yeah. So you can get personally invested in it. You know what? If you don't do it well, okay. But you know what? They're going to give you a reward. It's not easy, you don't do it well, and it doesn't bring you pleasure. Then you know what? They can give you compensation, but they can also give you restoration time. If you did something that wasn't easy, it wasn't pleasurable, you didn't do it well, they can give you motivation and compensation and recovery time. And that's when you know that the synergy, the synchronicity is back to the quality level that it needs to be. That's priceless. Thank you so much for listening to the show today. Again, ladies and gentlemen, BBS Radio, the number, if you want to call in to ask me a question, is 888-627-6008. And the email address is thepowerofsynergylisteners@gmail.com. Each week, I do pick a topic in particular. So if you have any questions that are on a topic that I didn't discuss in the show today, please don't hesitate to send me an email with that question. And again, if there's times when you want to ask something that's not necessarily the topic of whatever it is that I'm discussing, my producer is an absolutely wonderful man. His name is Don. And so when he answers the phone and he'll send you through to me, you're going to have a great time. BBS is an absolutely radio station beyond words. I've been with them for years. I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. Thanks, Don. I love you so much. And thanks again for listening today. My name is Gabrielle Cardona. This is BBS Radio and the Power of Synergy.